Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Rebecca. Now, I want you to take a moment right now to rate, review, and subscribe. It's really important to help get the word out, and it really helps us. Here's a recent review. This one is from Sarcastic Owl, and they say, "Total slam dunk. 5 stars. As a fellow catastrophizing history nerd, I feel like this podcast was made for me. I love the premise and comedic elements factored in. I'm thankful to have another female-led comedy podcast that touches on true crime, as I'd officially run out of my favorite murders to listen to." Well, you can thank the Erios Network for that. And thank you so much, Sarcastic Owl.
And I just want to do a Sarcastic Owl. Who?
An Erios original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we'll be talking about the Burr-Hamilton duel. In a time where politics are so heated and people think this is the worst time for American politics, it's a good thing to take a step back and remind ourselves that back in the day, politicians would literally duel over political differences and kill each other. Is it worse than Twitter? Maybe. Let's find out. The duel between Vice President Aaron Burr and former Secretary of Treasury Alexander Hamilton is one of the most famous duels in history. On the early morning of July 11th, 1804, political rivals Hamilton and Burr met at the wooded dueling grounds on Weehawken, New Jersey. It was the culmination of a long and bitter rivalry between the two men. Vice President Burr's bullet struck Hamilton, while Hamilton's shot missed and broke a tree branch directly above Burr's head. Hamilton was carried back to Manhattan, where he died the next day. But how did two of America's most prominent politicians end up here? Alexander Hamilton was born out of wedlock in the Caribbean island of Nevis, probably in 1755. He was orphaned at age 13 and sent to New York when he was 18 to pursue his studies at King's College, later Columbia University. He fought in the American Revolutionary War, where he worked as George Washington's chief staff aide. After attending the Constitutional Convention in 1787, he wrote the majority of the Federalist Papers, which argued for the Constitution's ratification. Hamilton was tapped by Washington to serve as the first U.S. Treasury Secretary and is credited with creating the National Bank. Aaron Burr was born in Newark, New Jersey, on February 6, 1756. His father was a notable Presbyterian minister and educator in the colonies, but his parents died by 1758, leaving him orphaned at 2 years old. He was raised by his uncle, whom he had a strained relationship with. He was admitted to Princeton at age 13. Burr eventually became a prominent lawyer and a key player in New York politics. He served as the third vice president under Thomas Jefferson's first term. The conflict between the two men began in 1791. Burr won a Senate seat from Philip Schuyler, Hamilton's father-in-law, who would have supported Hamilton's Federalist policies. Then, in the election of 1800, Thomas Jefferson and Burr tied for the presidency. The Electoral College was deadlocked and required that the final choice be made by the House of Representatives. Hamilton's maneuvering in the House of Representatives caused Jefferson to be named president and Burr vice president. When it became clear to Burr that Jefferson would drop him for his ticket in the 1804 presidential election, the then vice president ran for governor of New York. Hamilton campaigned vigorously against Burr, who eventually lost to Morgan Lewis, a Democratic Republican endorsed by Hamilton. In June 1804, Burr discovered that Hamilton had made remarks against him at a dinner party. Dr. Charles Cooper claimed in his letter that Hamilton spoke forcefully and eloquently against the Federalists' plan to nominate Aaron Burr as their candidate for governor of New York.
I assert that General Hamilton and Judge Kent have declared, in substance, that they looked upon Mr. Burr to be a dangerous man, and one who ought not to be trusted with the reins of government. It is sufficient for me, on this occasion, to substantiate what I have asserted. I have made it an invariable rule in my life to be circumspect in relating what I may have heard from others, and in this affair I feel happy to think that I have been unusually cautious. For really, sir, I could detail to you a still more despicable opinion for which General Hamilton has expressed of Mr. Burr.
The letter was published in the Albany Register, and Cooper's letter proved to be the last straw. Burr challenged Hamilton to a duel. Fun facts, aka death stats. Hamilton was a Federalist. Federalists believed in a centralized national government with strong fiscal roots. In addition, the Federalists felt that the Constitution was open for interpretation. Burr was a Republican, though in the 1800s, Republicans were not like modern Republicans. They were actually closer to having democratic beliefs. Almost 3 years earlier, in 1801, Hamilton's eldest son, Philip Hamilton, died in a duel on the same spot his father would later die. The elder Hamilton used the same pistol as his son on the day of his death. At around 5 a.m., Burr and Hamilton left Manhattan on separate boats and rode across the Hudson River to New Jersey. Burr arrived at the popular dueling spot in Weehawken first. When Hamilton arrived, they decided on the rules and got to it. Burr's shot hit Hamilton in his abdomen, pierced his liver, and lodged in his spine. He died the next day, 36 hours after he was shot. According to GilderLerman.org, quote, "As illogical as it may seem, many political duelists in this period didn't want to kill their opponents. The point of a political duel was to prove a man willing to die for his honor, not to shed blood. Some believe it was never Hamilton's intention to shoot Burr, and that it's possible Hamilton intentionally missed." Okay, so today we have with us Baron Vaughn, who's going to be talking to us about the Burr-Hamilton duel. We're very excited. Thank you for coming.
Oh yeah, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to talk about Aaron Burr and how cold he was. Burr.
Oh. Ari with the puns.
We've got our fact checker Chris Smith
just typing away at my laptop, which has 80% battery charge.
safety first. And producer Amanda.
And I'm at a desktop with a Dell monitor.
Dude, you're getting a Dell.
Do you want us to give you an introduction where we tell everybody about all of your great accomplishments, or should we skip all that?
Sure, do it. I'm always curious what other people think my great accomplishments
Gracie
are.
Gracie and Frankie.
But you do have a new Audible fictional podcast coming out.
Yes.
Called Cut and Run.
Yes. Yeah, it's sort of like, I want to say a noir. That's kind of the style of it. Like sort of that, I want to say film noir, but it's an audio podcast. Mm. But film noir is based on what radio was before everybody was listening to film. So it's essentially like a reclaiming of a style for the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a narrative show that Akram Blacker wrote. It's quite fun and quite funny.
I want to talk about the fact that none of us in this room have ever seen the musical Hamilton.
I've never seen it. I've heard a little of it, but I've never committed to like listening to it.
How have we all avoided it?
So we're perfect because we haven't been tainted by Lin-Manuel's vision of what happened.
That's right.
You know, let's get started and start putting people up on the board, you know, and really forming an idea of who we think is to blame for the duel. And just to specify, we're not talking about the death of Hamilton. Okay? That, of course, we know Aaron Burr killed Hamilton. Who's responsible for the actual duel?
Like, what kind of, like, was the straw that broke the duelist's back, if
exactly.
You will? Because a bullet got lodged in his spine?
Uh-huh. Mm. Off the bat, let's just get it off our chest. Let's put Aaron... I think we need to put Aaron Burr up on the board.
Oh, yeah.
So Aaron Burr needs to go up on the board.
Yeah.
Some background on their feud. According to the Gilder Lehrman Institute of American History, one of our favorite websites to go to on
one of
this
my favorite
subject.
Institutes.
Which we found is a two-person institute.
Yeah.
It's Richard Gilder and someone Lehrman.
It's weird that his parents
something
named
like
someone.
That. Burr had reasons to dislike Hamilton. If you kind of read everything that Hamilton did to him, Burr might have been the president instead of the vice president had it not been for Hamilton's interference. When Burr's term as vice president was almost over, he ran for governor of New York. Hamilton once again prevented Burr from winning by opposing his candidacy. And according to the ConstitutionCenter.org, Burr was effectively out of political power, even though he was the vice president of the United States. So it's 1804. He's still vice president. No one wants him. It's almost like he's backpedaling a little bit and he's like, fine, I'll run for governor of New York, which at the time was a big deal.
Yeah.
The Capitol had recently moved to Washington, D.C.
What was it? It was Philadelphia before that, right?
I know. It was in Manhattan.
What?
It was
the
in New
capital?
York.
Of
the capital of the United States was in New York.
Uh-oh.
Was it in the Statue of Liberty?
It was. You had to climb all the way to the statue, the top of the statue.
No, it wasn't there yet.
The statue wasn't there yet.
No,
right?
The statue wasn't there yet.
85 to 90, we capitaled the U.S. from 85 to 90 was New York. And from 90 to 1800, it was Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So Philadelphia was after New York.
So and Philadelphia was when the Alexander Hamilton sex scandal happened.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because he had some ladies.
He had one. Maria Reynolds was Hamilton's mistress, I guess, while he was in Philadelphia. But yes, he had an affair and it was scandalous. She told him that she was poor and needed help and her husband had been abusive and she was trying to leave him and he gave her money and then they started an affair. Mm-hmm. And then he found out the husband was alive or they were still together. And then they tried to blackmail him for
Whoa.
Money and he paid them. He paid them the blackmail money so the affair wouldn't come out. And then they tried to blackmail him for more. All it comes to say is that the other politicians got involved because they wanted to make sure that he wasn't using government funds to pay for this blackmail. And he was like, you know, I'm just going to come clean. And he showed all of the letters. He's like, look, he was like, I had an affair. Here are the letters. At the end of the day, he came clean. The letters were posted. So that was the first political sex scandal in American history.
Wow. So basically, the government wanted to make sure this politician wasn't using government funds for their own personal gain.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so it's not relevant at all.
back to Burr.
Yes.
Because we got off track with Hamilton and his scandals. Mm-hmm. Back to Burr. He legitimately had a reason to dislike Hamilton, yeah, if you ask me.
He was all up in his business trying to just keep him out of the government, I guess.
I mean, why did he care so much? I know that there was the history between the father-in-law, that Burr kind of like took one of the seats back in the day in New York that belonged to his father-in-law.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
But it's like, just let it go, Hamilton.
I mean, that's a different musical.
Let it go, Hamilton.
No, just let it go. That's a wholly different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the Lopez.
Yeah, yeah. That's
oeuvre.
Belongs very to the different Lopez than Miranda. Family. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you know, it seems like, I mean, people back then, I would like to say, were incredibly passionate, especially because the government was still new. It was still young, and these people, I think, knew, were aware of the fact of how long their influence would last, that they were still the architects of what this country was going to be.
Right.
So I feel like that passion, that idea that, like, you know, we've got this independence and now we get to create this country, it makes people like really believe in what they're doing. It go insane. Yeah. I would even say, like, they believe so passionately in what they stand for that they would shoot each other in the street over it in Weehawken.
And we go all the way to Weehawken.
I know. Which now, is still the dueling capital of the United States. Anyone I know from Weehawken loves to fight.
Well, the reason they would go to New Jersey was because it was illegal in New York. So they'd just cross the river.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I read on Reddit that Burr and Hamilton were both short, attractive men with big personalities. And that's why they didn't like each other.
Oh, they saw each other in themselves. Ooh.
Interesting.
You ever have that thing where someone's like, I'm going to introduce you to someone. They're just like you. You're going to love them. And then that's why you end up hating that person.
Yeah. We have Burr. We get it. We understand the conflict. Alexander Hamilton himself. I mean, we have to put him up on the board as well. Well, Hamilton himself was a divisive figure. So he wasn't very well liked.
Seems not.
No. He was a loudmouth. He already had that scandal, the sex scandal. Just had a lot of strong opinions. He was also like kind of a genius.
A savant kind of a situation. Uh-huh. I mean, he had written that, what's it called, the Federalist Papers.
He had written the Federalist Papers.
He became the first Secretary of the Treasury, right?
So I guess at the time, the country had a lot of debt. Mm. And
you would if you just had a war.
Yeah.
You just had a war.
And also you're just starting off.
Yeah.
Well, and then he doubled down. So he wanted,
ooh, see, he's already gambling.
Exactly. He wants to get all the states to agree to have a strong federal government, right? Mm-hmm. And the way he did that was by saying he'd acquire the state debt. And so the federal government, acquired even more debt, which was actually a pretty genius idea.
It's a way to unite people, definitely.
Exactly.
Hey, you know that money you owe? I'll owe it.
So that's what he did. He's divisive, whatever. People were up in arms about... Some people were up in arms. Some people were, like, you know, excited about
it. Also, just a note about the letters.
Yes.
Okay, so just a note about the letters, which was that... So, basically, Hamilton was talking shit about Burr at some party, right?
Yeah.
And then this guy, Cooper... This guy Charles Cooper wrote Burr and told him.
Yeah, he's got to go on the
Charles
floor.
Cooper, no, wrote to Hamilton's father-in-law.
Right.
That's where the letters were going. It got back to Burr.
Anyway, it got to Burr, right? But here's what Hamilton, here's what happened then was Burr wrote a letter to Hamilton saying, basically, did you say I was whatever, I was an asshole or whatever? And Hamilton wrote back a really like pithy, like sort of ambiguous response, which was like, you're not able to name the specific thing I called you. You're just sort of using generalities. But here's the deal. Like, if you can name something, I'm more than happy to back it up. And I will not offer you an apology until you're able to do that. So he's kind of like,
shit.
Hamilton's kind of like slick in that way, at least from what I've read.
Yeah.
And so I'm just saying, between the two, Burr was like, hey, man to man, did you say something shitty about me? And Hamilton was like, maybe, I don't know. Like,
what did you hear?
So who was the person stirring this drama up? Because to me, whoever leaked the information to the papers or the papers themselves, like, that has to go on the board.
Chuck Cooper.
They Cooper, published right? themselves. Yeah. Yeah. Cooper's got to go up on the board.
He wrote the letter.
Yeah.
Published as well?
Yes. Yeah. And
that's hilarious. Gossip letter. Yo, bro, someone was talking mad shit about your son. And then that goes into the paper.
This is like a that would be a like my worst nightmare if I was talking shit about someone and then it was sending, posted like, everywhere.
If somebody it's basically like if somebody took your text threads where you're talking shit about a friend and posted it on like
people
Twitter.
Do that though. People I know do screenshots of texts and private messages and be like, look at this fucking asshole. It's like so a person's scary. Name
and
in
so
it.
And so this is Dr. Cooper. Is that
yes,
who this
Dr.
is?
Charles Cooper.
They're going on the board. And this is so fascinating to me because I didn't know much about this. And when I started looking into it, I was like, Hamilton and Burr must have had some huge fundamental difference as to why they hated each other. But they actually didn't. It was just so petty. Mm-hmm. And it just got out of control. It was really just... not much there to their feud.
A sign of things to come. Am I right? Sometimes it's nothing. Sometimes it's actually nothing.
I read here, back to Gilder Lerman's Institute of American History.
Not to be
favorite.
Confused with Gilder Radner.
Like, couldn't Hamilton have said no to the duel?
But that's the thing, right? You have to man up. Is that the whole...
down. Yeah, the answer is no, as far as they're concerned. He explained his reasoning in a 4-page statement to be made public only in the event of his death. He didn't want to fight Burr, he admitted, and for a good reason. Dueling violated his religious and moral principles, defied the law, threatened the welfare of his family, put his creditors at risk, ultimately compelled him to hazard much. I don't know what that means. And
ancient wording.
But by the logic, the duel seemed impossible to avoid. He couldn't apologize for his insults because he meant them. And during their negotiations, Hamilton and Burr had exchanged hard words, making a duel near unavoidable. He was a bit of a hard-headed guy, clearly.
It's a lesson about rhetoric.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, like when we talk about Iran, you know, or North Korea, and then things get to this fever pitch. I mean, that's the whole of the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
It was like just decades in this country. People were like, I see that, and I raise you some other bullshit. That's basically all it is at some point, it has to come to a head. It has to, all this smack talk has to come to a head, and it's never good for anybody.
God, you're so... right.
Hey, I wasn't expecting to be called correct today. Call me old correct.
And it doesn't happen that often here. But seriously, it's like we just see that happen over and over and over again. And here we are.
And just a couple details with this. Their letters were exchanged by their seconds. And what a second is if you want to go there. I don't know if you want to go there.
No, you can tell us.
It's like basically your best friend, your sidekick or whatever. Once a letter exchange starts to get hot, starts to get heated, the seconds, it's kind of up to them to, exactly what you're saying, like, phrase it or frame it and basically use the right rhetoric in order to sell an apology or some sort of truce so that it doesn't come to blows, so that they don't duel.
It's like your publicist.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Basically.
Yeah, no, but it's like seconds or spin doctors.
Oh, that's what that song's about.
What?
The spin doctor song. Princess, to stand before you, just go ahead now. It's Hamilton and Burr,
the
princes.
Right,
the they're standing before you. He said, go ahead, like, shoot each other.
Shoot
damn. Each other. I'm sorry, what were you saying about
that's right.
I'm just saying that if you surround yourself with people who are not helping or calm you down, they're just kind of like fueling the fire, then you're screwed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the problem with yes men.
So are we putting the seconds on the board?
Yeah.
Or? Yeah. That's an unexpected turn that I'm so excited
about. The seconds, Dr. Cooper.
Yeah, we have Dr. Cooper was a second, and there's also a judge. But I'll look them up and get their names.
The seconds also go to the duel.
So they're like caddies too.
They're like caddies, yeah.
Gun caddies
or squires.
That's right, exactly.
That's crazy to me. They rode the boats with Hamilton. You know, Hamilton had his second with him in his boat.
They're probably holding the bullets.
They actually do.
No, they do.
They load the guns into the gun. Yes,
oh,
and so
wow.
The seconds play a huge role in this
yes.
whole thing.
Yes. So the seconds are going up on the board. I also want to put up on the board just gossip culture.
Gossip folks.
Because that's how this letter came about. You know, someone is talking trash at a party.
Mm-hmm,
just keep
mm-hmm.
it to yourself. You know what I mean? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So what yeah. happens in the party?
Yes. As Missy Elliott once said, when I walk up into peace, I ain't got to hear you speak. I'm a bad mamma jamma, god damn it, you ain't got to talk about me. Something like that. I forget.
I will fact check that.
I'm a bad mamma jamma, god damn it, you ain't got to talk about me. I forget how she does it. One of the greatest.
Exactly. Just like Missy Elliott. If Missy Elliott had been their second, this whole thing wouldn't have happened.
I don't know about that. She likes to, she likes to get some stuff started.
Just while we're on the seconds, still, neither of their seconds were Missy Elliott, but just so we're clear, Burr's second was William Peter Van Ness, and then Pendleton. Judge Nathaniel Pendleton.
A very famous camp named after him.
Right up on the board, we have Aaron Burr, Hamilton, Dr. Cooper, Gossip Culture, and their seconds. I also want to put up there fragile egos or, I mean, these are two different things, but toxic masculinity.
No, definitely. I mean, that's this country was founded on toxic masculinity.
Now, I feel like we've already sent toxic masculinity to jail for the gender reveal explosion disaster.
You can be convicted of multiple crimes even after you've been imprisoned.
That's true. But I also feel like toxic masculinity has a way of like escaping jail. It really prevails.
It's because we came up with the concept of jail. The concept of jail as we know it.
Oh, my God.
That's right. We know where the exits are.
Mm-hmm. Jeez. Here. I just watched Aladdin. But, so you're totally open to putting up concepts as to blame.
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. We live and die by it. Stand by it. Everything.
Why you got one cooking?
No. It's just interesting that there's both gossip and toxic masculinity, because you would think that gossip doesn't really fit into toxic masculinity, but gossip tends to be something that people consider a quote unquote feminine thing.
Mm.
But everyone gossips. It's just that when it's men, it ends in bullets.
Right. Your point is taken. Do you think that we should take gossip off because it's a part?
It's just an interesting coincidence. I think that the masculine version of gossip is talking shit.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. But I think we should keep it gossip so people out there realize that it's the same thing.
So we're winding down in this section of putting names on the board. Is there anything else we want to throw up there?
There are two things I've got my eye on. But Baron, if you come up with anything.
The paper?
Oh, are we the going media? To the media?
The media, because look.
It's called the Albany Review.
This is also like... And I'm very interested in history, especially because I think we take a lot of things for granted as always having been the way that they are now.
Mm-hmm.
But journalism back then is nothing like what it is today, in the sense of people wanted to. I mean, journalism back then is more like tabloids today than it is like a sophisticated journalism, right? Like the Post or the Guardian or whatever the crap. So it's kind of like. It was a way to amplify gossip, if anything else, because everybody wanted to sell papers. So it's like the fact that they published this letter and exacerbated it, I bet you it was like, ooh, and then we'll get to write another story about what happens because we published this.
Well, it's interesting you brought that up because Alexander Hamilton is the founder of the New York Post.
What? That rag.
That's crazy.
I swear to you. And Burr had his own newspaper.
Was it the Daily News?
No, it was something that didn't go that far.
Okay.
It was another one. But anyway, that's the way they also apparently communicated with each other. They would like put stuff on their own newspaper.
Oh, that's basically like a Facebook post.
Essentially.
It's basically like a tweet back then.
While Chris is looking that up, what else
do
you want to put up?
Two things I would like to put up. First of all, Philip Hamilton's death. Now, this is Hamilton's older son,
right?
Eldest son. He dies in a duel 3 years earlier. Same exact situation, same location, same weapon. And it really, friends of the family wrote that Philip's parents never went back to their old selves after the death of their son. In June 2nd, 1802, Elizabeth gave birth to her youngest child. Oh, this is Eliza, who was Hamilton's wife, who was pregnant when Philip died. And they named the baby, they named the baby Philip Hamilton. Hamilton had two children named Philip.
I also want to add one last thing to this.
Yes.
Haunted pistol.
Oh!
clearly this gun was doomed. It killed two Hamiltons with one stone. Am I right?
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, there, if it kills one, you're just like, I don't know. Do I really want to take this one with me? You just think about it before you pack it.
Yeah, because what was he trying to do? Like reclaim the pistol's honor? Like,
and the last thing I want to put up on the board is debt anxiety.
Ooh.
Burr had this very large house called Richmond Hill that was like in the West Village area. And it was like 23 acres. I think it was where the president lived when the Capitol was in New York. Mm. A costly house. He had large debt. Now, Hamilton had just had this like famous architect design his house, which was up in what is now Hamilton Heights. It's called the Grange. The Grange Mansion, I think. It had just been finished 2 years prior to the duel. And he also had acquired a ton of debt. So these two people were just in debt. I feel like that kind of money anxiety really puts people on edge, right?
Absolutely, yes. Get your stomach in ties. You know, it raises your stress level, which chemically is cortisol, and that is not good for anybody. Am I right? Being at kind of like a fever pitch of emotion is not a healthy place, and it means that it kind of shuts off the part of your brain that knows when things are good or bad ideas.
Yeah.
I theorize.
I'm with you.
It's a really good point, and not only that, but it was tied at the time to your good name, right? So you would take on all this debt and it would all be under like my good name, which is Alexander Hamilton. Like basically you're looking around, you say, people know me, like look at all this debt I have, like I'm good for it. And so that's why these sort of disagreements and these letters being sent back and forth were all about, are you a liar? Are you good by your name? Mm-hmm. Like, do you stand by what you said? And then that's why they would come to a head. And that's why, you know, they would lead to duels.
I would say rep in the streets. That's definitely a cause. That's like, it's legacy. And I think, again, with all these mofos being at the beginning of the country where they're like, everything's going to be named after us. Mm-hmm. So like that whole like my name and my name is my brand sort of thing is totally the thing.
What would that go? If you want to, this could be the last thing.
Rep in the streets.
Rep.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said debt.
Debt anxiety.
Debt anxiety is on, and then rep in the streets.
Rep in the streets is tied to date.
Debt anxiety.
Debt anxiety. I get it.
Debt anxiety / rep.
Yeah, I think that's good.
I mean, that makes sense to me. Reputation. You know, if you think about it, there's not a lot of stuff called Burr. It's not on Burr Avenue.
Well, it's just interesting because debt.
Right, or Burr Airport.
I'm sure there's a couple Burr-named things in the world.
Yeah,
though.
Bill.
I could. But I mean, I think that's
a very good cheese, burrata.
No, but I just think that maybe there actually is a distinction between debt anxiety, which we sort of come to learn as debt as something like, oh, we got to pay off our debt. And it's just like our daily sort of grind type of thing. And also reputation, which is just different now than it was at the time. So I don't know if you...
Yeah, I'm happy to separate them and we'll see where it takes us when we...
we'll see where it takes us.
And now we're going to just take a moment to talk to guest expert John Sedgwick, author of War of Two, Alexander Hamilton, Aaron Burr, and the Duel That Stunned the Nation. Hi, John. Thanks for joining us today.
Rebecca, it's my pleasure. What's on deck today?
Well, we're talking Aaron Burr and Hamilton duel, and we're really trying to get to the bottom of who's to blame, not for the actual murder of Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know Burr pulled the trigger, but what led us down this path? How did we get here? We have some feelings, but I just want to get your off-the-bat idea. Who do you think is to blame?
Both.
Interesting.
Both of them, I would say, contributed almost equally, and that their circle were contributors, and their society was a contributor. And the fact is that these were two extremely ambitious men who were rising in the ranks, and the further up they went in political life, the more tightly they were in contact with each other and started to rub each other more and more and more and more the wrong way. And I think it really spoke to the narrowness of society at the top, that they just couldn't get out of each other's way and that they ended up firing at each other.
Yes, it feels like one of those epic duels, you know, very similar to the Nicki Minaj, Cardi B situation that, you know, was brewing for a long time.
I would love to say I know exactly what you mean. I've never heard of either of them, but I'm going to go along with it all the same. I will tell you, since we're just in the sort of run up this, you know, one of the things that's really quite fascinating about the duel is that people don't know exactly what happened. And the reason for that is that the guy, the only one who knows fully is Burr, or was Burr. And he didn't talk about this for another 40 years. And the reason that it's so mysterious is that, you know, even what the duel is, you know, was conducted in Weehawken, New Jersey, and they went there because it would escape the clutches of the law in Manhattan. The duels were illegal in New Jersey, but this was New Jersey, and the rules weren't always observed. So they fought in Weehawken, but the deal was that if you saw a duel take place, you were complicit in the duel taking place, so that all of the people around it, and they all had their seconds, and there was a doctor there, all of them averted their eyes at the time that the pistols came out. So nobody knows who was actually firing at whom and when. Because the issue was, who shot first? And that's not known. It's assumed the statement that went out was that Hamilton shot wildly up in the air after Burr, that Burr leveled him, and that as he recoiled, that Hamilton's shot went up in the air, and that he was not aiming to shoot at Burr at all. And that was the big claim that his people made to make it clear to the world that he was an innocent victim of slaughter, of merciless slaughter by Burr. And Burr has never been able to escape that reputation. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that it's not clear that that's the way it happened, and that the way that they proved that was that they supposedly brought a branch from a tree that was right there on the dueling ground and presented it to the public and said, look, this branch has been chopped in two clearly by a bullet, and the bullet was fired by Hamilton because he was shooting up into the air and didn't intend to hit anybody. Well, that's not necessarily the case. And it may very well be that, in fact, that Hamilton shot first, and that Burr didn't realize that where Hamilton was trying to shoot, because Hamilton missed. And the claim was that Hamilton was trying to shoot, you know, elsewhere and not hit Burr. But he may actually have. But how can Burr know that when the gun is shot in his direction? How does he know whether he's intending to hit him or intending not to? And why would you ever shoot anyway if you weren't intending to kill someone? Burr shot second, and so what happened was, you know, you only have two shots. I mean, you only have one shot, and then you had to reload if you were going to have a second round. So Hamilton, I think the way it went down is not the way history presents it. I think what the way it went down was that Hamilton, in fact, did intend to, something like fire away his first ball, to give up his first ball, to not intend to shoot Burr, and that Burr misinterpreted that as him trying to shoot Burr, and therefore he retaliated. But there's yet another interpretation, which I like, and that is that, in fact, what I called my book War of Two, and this was a War of Two, that Hamilton saw Burr as a threat to the empire, that he was, you know, the Trump of the age. Again, political statement. I hope this is acceptable to your audience.
Yes.
But that he was, that Burr was the guy, the demagogue who was going to, like, wreck the whole thing, that he was into politics only for himself, didn't care about the country at large, and had to be stopped. And so that when Hamilton went to the dueling ground, in fact, he did intend to shoot Burr and kill him and, like, be done with this scourge, but he missed. And that when he missed, then Burr shot him down.
Incredible. Thank you so much, John. And please tell our listeners where they can find you and where they can purchase your books.
Well, the book is War of Two, and I think that the best place to get it is online at one of those enormous retailers online that you hear about, which I won't even mention the name of, but people can possibly guess. War of Two.
War of Two. Thank you so much, John Sedgwick. And we'll reach out if we have any more Burr and Hamilton questions.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Up on the board, Chris, can you tell us what we've got?
Sure, sure. On the board we have Aaron Burr, Alexander Hamilton, Dr. Charles Cooper, Gossip, The Seconds, which was Van Ness and Pendleton, Toxic Masculinity, The Albany Register, i.e. the media, Philip Hamilton Death, the death of his son, Haunted Pistol, which is a wild card, Debt Anxiety, and Rep in the Streets.
So, Baron, we have a tried and true system of process of elimination here. Off the bat, is there anything that you feel we can take off the board?
There's one thing I know that could definitely go.
Okay, tell me.
It's my favorite thing. It's Haunted Pistol.
Yeah.
It's my idea, but I know it's silly. It couldn't possibly be real.
It got up there. It's had its time.
I'm just saying, like, I've watched enough sports movies. Didn't play any, but I've watched enough sports movies to know that if there's a football or a basketball that holds some sort of trauma in it,
yeah.
You know, like the team had this basketball it was the only thing that survived the plane crash. And now we need to dunk on these mofos to restore balance to the universe. Like, it can hold weight,
yeah.
You know, so
yes.
Like a pistol, like him looking at the pistol that his son used could have thrown off his, he could have made a last minute decision. Like, you know what? I'm not going to kill him.
Yeah.
In the Hamilton Burr duel, the movie, perhaps object significance plays a bigger part than it does in reality.
Right. And maybe Lin-Manuel did use this. We don't know. Because we've never seen Hamilton.
But even if, like, we can't see it, like, even if I listen to the soundtrack, there's not going to be all the stage business. I don't get to see how it looked.
And for that reason, that's why we have to take it off. The rest all seem really good to me.
Pretty convincing.
I guess we could take off Philip Hamilton's death.
Mm.
I mean, I do think that's I think it's traumatic, but also that should have been a warning sign. Like, I don't know if that happened to me and my family, I would be like, well, I don't want to take part of any more duels. I've already lost a son to a duel.
It's a red flag.
Right.
It should have been a warning.
It should have been a warning. So we can take that off.
Dr. Cooper and Gossip are kind of one in the same.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think they're kind of one in the same. I would almost put the Albany Register together with those two. It's almost its own three-act story. There's Gossip, and then Dr. Cooper writes a letter and it goes to the freaking paper, right?
Right.
So it's like that's a full cycle, those three things.
I almost want to just right off the bat take off Gossip in general, because I think that Gossip implies that there's not any fact base, or there's not basis for fact, whereas I think that there was, like, nobody's contesting the fact, and Hamilton himself didn't contest the fact that he said something shitty about Burr.
Right.
So I think Gossip, to me, is like making stuff up. I don't know, in my mind. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't see it necessarily as making stuff up. It's just that, like, you can make stuff up about people, and that is a type of gossip.
Right.
But there also is just the talking about business that's not yours. Like, it's the opposite of minding your business. It's getting into other people's business. And that's what Dr. Cooper does, which is why I put him more, like, he is the conduit of the gossip.
Okay.
Gossip in itself can be not harmful. It's the messenger.
Right.
I also think that rep in the street for this particular tragedy might be a stronger way to encompass gossip because it has, to me, a little bit more weight to it.
I agree with that. So I feel like we can take Gossip off. I think we should keep Dr. Cooper on, and we definitely should keep Rep in the Streets.
What about the seconds? I think that that could be something we take off at this point.
They could have done better.
It's hard to cross anybody. This is a tough one.
We all could have done better.
It's a combination of things here. But
it's like surround yourself with good people, right?
But how do you surround yourself with good people? Be a good person.
Ooh,
ouch. Ouch.
You get what you get back what you put out.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So if they were better people, they might have had better seconds. If they had better seconds.
So I guess we can take them off.
They loaded the bullets, though.
I mean,
but they didn't shoot the gun. I mean, these were two adult, very intelligent men.
I'm
talking about Burr and Hamilton. I can't think they're not more culpable than Burr and Hamilton, is all I'm saying.
That's true.
I guess I'm looking for like a police brutality, police violence sort of approximation, because I feel like I can't remember exactly what the studies are, but it's like police that are with other police tend to participate because they get fired up by being in that group dynamic.
Yeah.
But whereas if it's one cop, they'll always call for backup. They won't just go jump into the shit.
Interesting.
But that kind of goes with toxic masculinity.
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
Maybe we can cross them off and keep toxic masculinity up on the board.
Oof.
And don't forget about the secondary prize, which is the big slap. So we send one person to jail, and we've added something new where one person gets a big slap.
I think we can give these seconds the big slap, personally.
Already?
I just feel like, as a society, like, we need to care for each other more.
But I think we can cross them off and maybe big slap them.
Okay, we'll see.
Wow. I just love how divided you all are. This is real.
We take it seriously, Baron. This is jail we're talking
about. I'm just hoping it doesn't end in a duel, this conversation. I've seen the error of these ways.
So up on the board, we have Aaron Burr, Hamilton, Dr. Cooper. We still have toxic masculinity, the media, and debt anxiety, and rep in the streets. I think we can take the media off.
Really?
I do.
You don't think it exacerbated things?
I do think it exacerbated, but I think that they would have done it to themselves with or without the help of the papers. I think it made it worse. Because it tarnished their rep in the street. But I'm confident that they would have found a way. I mean, Hamilton would have wrote a series of papers about Burr, or who the hell knows.
So they're just like got mixed up in it, in the tornado of what
they're
was
being
about to
used
happen.
In this particular tragedy, I think they're being used more than they're fueling the fire.
And we don't know who was leaking this information. It could have come from Hamilton.
That's what I was asking. 100%. That's what I was about to ask.
If he owns the paper, don't you think he could have been like, don't run that story?
Okay.
We got to slim down this board, Baron. You got to help us here.
You have to be ruthless,
yeah,
Baron.
We really have to get it down
to one.
I'm
noticing. I really want to hang with Mr. Cooper. I'm sorry, Dr. Cooper. He didn't go to Cooper School to be called Mr. Cooper.
No, he did not.
I still feel like he's like He's like the he's such an instigator.
Yeah, I got to keep him up.
He's
on the
a candidate
board.
For the slap.
He's a candidate for the slap. I'm with you on that. Yeah.
Now, what about debt anxiety? That's not doing anything for me personally.
No,
right?
I don't think so.
It just is. Debt anxiety is like the weather.
Right.
It's like it's either cloudy or it's sunny, but it'll inform you. On a cloudy day, you won't go outside at 3 p.m., but on a sunny day, you will. But that's not necessarily to blame for what you're going to do when you get outside or stay inside, right?
I'm with you.
Sad but true, even to today.
Bye-bye, debt anxiety.
It's just part of our daily
We all have it.
Our daily bread.
It's no excuse.
Repping the streets and toxic masculinity. Are we lumping those together?
Ooh.
I think they can be.
I think we can.
I hate to not blame the exact people that actually shot at each other. But it's like these are the things that inform why they even got to this place, right? It's like who you calling a bitch? Basically, like even though that's a Queen Latifah lyric, but like it's and she's not toxically masculine, but like that's about female empowerment. But like it's kind of like they're posting up at each other, They're just kind of like what? And I feel like that's the thing that need. That drive to have to prove how masculine you are is what even takes them to this duel.
Even you're saying even more than your reputation in the street.
Well, that's why I want to say that like the rep in the street is important because of toxic masculinity.
I agree.
So we could almost put rep in the streets off because I feel like that's one and the same as toxic masculinity. I feel like that's an umbrella term of toxic masculinity.
Okay, so should I take for now?
It's a result.
I think we're avoiding the elephants in the room, which are Burr and Hamilton.
We haven't even brought them up.
And at some point, we're going to need to...
Well, only one of them was a Republican, though. Get it? Elephant in the room? Who's with me? No one? Okay.
Well, out of the two of them, I do think Hamilton is more to blame.
I do, too. That's why the musical is named after him.
Yeah.
But Burr challenged Hamilton to the duel, right?
Yeah, but...
But I would say that Hamilton was such a dick that there was no choice... Mm-hmm. But for Burr to come to his level.
Yeah, it kind of was that. It was Hamilton put Burr in a situation by talking this shit about him that if he didn't have this letter exchange, which is by the time, it wasn't so much like one guy challenges another. It was like this letter exchange was just a train on a track and it was like definitely going to end up in a duel. Burr initiated the letters, but it was only because Hamilton talked shit about Burr and everyone knew about it.
Burr was trying to defuse the whole situation, wasn't he?
But Burr shot to kill.
That is true.
Hamilton did not shoot to kill.
Are we certain?
Allegedly. No. Allegedly.
Are we certain that Burr... I mean, like, because also, look, here's the other thing about bullets at this time. Right. I mean, we're talking that people had to do gunpowder and you had to do the... You had to like,
don't worry.
Put the bullet in, we put some gunpowder in and let me blow it off and let me shine it. So it's kind of like it was hard to actually die from a gunshot wound.
Yes.
That's why it took 3 days for Alexander Hamilton. I just think that Hamilton is the one who pushed Burr into this.
Wow. Okay.
You know, I'm taken. Well, I will also say that most people didn't who were acted in duels didn't die from them.
Yeah. So a lot of times the point in duels wasn't to kill the other person.
Yes.
Sometimes I read that people would show up at the duel and there was the option to just have an apology.
Right.
And that you could do that instead of actually shoot guns.
If you had good seconds,
if you had
exactly.
good seconds, because they would negotiate ahead of time.
Right.
Or they would shoot at the tree up above and just be like, oh, we missed. All right, well, we dueled it out.
Well, that's why it's tough to take Burr off. However, I get your point that if we're going further back, we're not saying who's responsible for the death. We're saying who's responsible for the duel.
Ooh,
and so I think that's it. Yeah, I think so. I'm going to cross her off.
Burr's She's gone. Ruthless.
Isn't that a matter of debate? Isn't that a big debate about whether or not Burr intended to kill?
Yes.
Or is he shot to kill? So it's like no one actually has a good answer for that.
Right. I don't think we do have a good answer for that.
Okay, guys. So now we're down to Alexander Hamilton and Dr. Cooper and toxic masculinity.
I think we can go ahead and give Chris Cooper. I don't know if his name was Chris Cooper.
Charles.
Charles Cooper.
Chuck for short. Chris Cooper, great actor.
Great actor.
Really good in adaptation. Yes.
I think we can give him the big slap. And
wow.
I think we can cross him off the list.
Ooh. Okay. So no more the second. I second that.
Yeah.
Giving Dr. Cooper the big slap.
He shouldn't have done bad boy. That was a bad boy thing to do.
Yeah, he's basically like, oh my goodness. Like, he's just over here. I just imagine him at a party like, have you heard what is going on between Alexander and Aaron? Who? Burr and Hamilton. Oh, okay. Why didn't you just say Burr and Hamilton.
Just pick up the Albany Register tomorrow and you'll find out.
So it's written by Anonymous.
Dr. Cooper, you're getting the big slap.
I didn't know there was Foley.
So now we have Hamilton himself and toxic masculinity.
Oh, boy.
I gotta say, if it's between those two things,
yeah,
I'm going with Alexander Hamilton.
Wow.
Alexander Hamilton is to blame for this duel.
Now, more than toxic masculinity.
Absolutely.
Because you think that he could have stopped it for himself.
I mean, it's a hard thing because toxic masculinity is not necessarily an inevitability. I would say that toxic masculinity is like an escalator. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Once you get on, it seems like there's no way off. And it's hard to get to go the opposite direction because the whole thing is taking you up.
Wow.
But like, he got on the escalator. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like toxic masculinity as a concept is you could say that like that's one of the reasons that he is driven to do such things. But he is the one who chose ultimately, I think, mm-hmm. to go that far, to take it to the most toxic place.
He got on the ride.
Powerful imagery. I mean, really convincing, yeah. Honestly. And yeah, hey, stay on the first floor, pal. No reason to get on that escalator. Everything's cool down here. You don't have to go to the food court.
To escalate, am I
right?
That's
right. We got an Auntie M's. We've got Orange Julius. Stay on the first floor of the mall. We don't need to go to the food court up on the second floor.
That's really good, Chris. Thank you.
I'm extending Baron's metaphor.
I love it.
Okay.
Honestly,
you're like his second.
Yeah.
But a good second.
That's right.
I have to agree on this. As much as I want to send toxic masculinity back to jail because somehow it escaped and that makes me so angry. I just think, Hamilton, you had so many opportunities and you just didn't take them, dude.
And he's the one who is the narcissist and is arrogant and it seems like wanted everything his way. In a sense. So it's kind of like this, it makes sense for the character analysis of him to be the one that it falls on.
And he had the raven of losing his son.
That's true. Mm-hmm. He had all kinds of flags and he walked past all of them. He's like, is that Stars and Stripes? No. And just walked past every single red flag trying to get to the American flag.
Wow.
I think it's settled. Alexander Hamilton, you're going to the alarmist jail.
Alexander Hamilton going to alarmist jail. That's right. Was a toxic masculinity fail. Ooh, he got that bullet in the musket. He didn't have to push it, but you know he want a tusket, a tisket, a tasket. That motherfucker's in a basket. He's 6 feet under asket. You know I got it. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not as good as a freestyler as Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Baron, I can't imagine a better person to really get to the bottom of who's to blame for the Burr Hamilton duel. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. Please have me back.
After the duel with Hamilton ended Burr's political career. He was eventually charged with murder in New York State, but was acquitted multiple times. He was left with large debts and few influential friends. He moved overseas to Europe until 1812, then returned to the United States to practice law in New York City. He spent the rest of his life there in relative obscurity. He died in 1836 at age 80. Vote for who you think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at The Alarmist The on Twitter, at The Alarmist Podcast on Instagram, or email us at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next week. We'll be talking about the Jennifer Aniston, Brad Pitt breakup that stunned the nation. One of America's greatest disasters.
Earios. Powered by ACAST.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.